Alright, time for another DoNotGuide.com video presentation. Oh, another pile of unfortunate crap to deal with. So, this just has such a, derived energy, fly aura, blah, blah, blah. You could go through the list of these circumstances where people who were allies become something else, And it's just really sad and depressing and, but it's just part of the crap for which you have to endeavor to persevere. So, on a video by Involuntary Inception, who's now making videos, which is great, he did a video about Amanda's video and pretty much said the same thing I did, which was, well, so far... she hasn't made a very good argument against herself because the decisive winner is the old Amanda versus the new one, talking about how we have to worry about plants and rocks falling off mountains and any complexity that has some capacity to be annihilated by nature. We need to run there and save the complexity because it's being disturbed, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, it just, I have to face palm in the face of absolute torture versus some vague threat of a possible, vague threat is not nearly, this is like hand sanitizer in the middle of a plague or something. I don't even know, that's not even, worrying about what color your hat is. Or there's a thread hanging off your hat. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so no brains in head, the old no brains in head, and now he's the brains GPT something or other. He wrote this whole pile of crap. And you're just, and so part of it just made me think, well, geez, I mean, this must have been something he's known about ahead of time, because how could he get all this out of that crappy Ephelism 2.0 video? I'm almost wondering whether this was some sort of Shanghai thing or whatever. They're trying to, they're shenaniganing a little bit. Because look at all this. I mean, just... amazing pile of mushy rationalization for a complete distraction. I mean, just a nonsense distraction over arguments that I've already made hundreds of times in the past about how this is about neurons, okay? And neurons only happened once in all of evolutionary history, okay? Only one kind of cell ever turned into a neuron. No other cell was a little bit like a neuron. No other cell did anything like it, similar. Nothing. Just one. Okay, in all of evolutionary history. There's lots of different ways the eyeball has been evolved. Different eyes grew out of different or completely separate organisms that were both blind, and they both grew eyes. That's happened, according to Dawkins, right? 7 times. But neurons... no, just the one. Anyway, so if you got rid of all the neurons, there's a huge obstacle existing in the fact of hundreds of millions of years of evolution, and it didn't happen a second time. All right, anyway. Look, this is science, and they don't know enough science, so that's... part of the problem. They really don't understand how evolution actually works, and how it's not because something happens doesn't mean it happened easy. It means that you can have zillion to one odds against it, and somebody's going to win, so to speak. It's like a lottery. Somebody wins. All right. And you can have some lotteries that are just so preposterously unlikely to be able to draw a number out and match. That no one ever wins because it's just never going to happen. All right, anyway. Sentience versus insentience. Is sentience the sole concern? I don't understand how anybody could see it any other way. I mean, I've been having this fight with the modern mystic for years over how can you see it any other way? What the fuck else is there to be concerned about in this universe? If I'm not concerned about a sentient brain having a bad feeling, what the fuck else should I be concerned about? That's it. There's nothing else to worry about. Nothing else scares me. You can do anything you want to anything in the universe, and it's okay with me as long as it's not a feeling thing and it's not going to be harmed or hurt or experience the bad feelings. Okay. You argue that sentience is the primary and sole concern because it's the locus of pain, suffering, and pleasure. Well, whatever locus means. But we know the first cause is neurons. Neurons make brains. Without neurons, no brain. Without the electrical cell, brain function doesn't happen. And we know that whatever this illusion is, this being alive, feeling thing, we know it's just synthetic. Your brain's creating it. It's not a real theater. It's not a real projector. It's not a real movie. It's not a real person. It's a synthesized mechanism that works in causing behavior. And that's the reason why it exists. But it has the side effect that it makes this actual value. It makes it possible for something to feel good and feel bad. For fuck's sake. Not complicated at all. All right. While this is true in the immediate sense, so you know, the obvious sense. Okay, yes, suffering's obviously important, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's important that you're missing. So that's his argument. Sentience is where suffering manifests. So I don't even know what that means. I'd say you've got it backwards. You know, sentience, suffering manifests in sentience. Okay. Ephelism 2.0 recognizes that focusing only on sentient being narrows the ethical lens too much. So he's really saying that he sees a real connection between creating sentient beings and, say, a paramecium. Like somehow it's going to evolve into a thinking device, when there's like almost zero probability. There's like it's unimaginable exactly how that would take place, because it can't have neurons because it's a single-celled organism. So clearly it's not going to happen that way. So his argument is that somehow it will, you know, somehow it is inevitable that it's going to create sentience when there's every indication that it's an insanely unlikely event, not a very likely event, that it doesn't happen routinely, that this isn't what matter does in the universe, first off, creating all these molecules. That doesn't even happen regularly, let alone the molecules evolving a DNA molecule, and let alone that DNA molecule becoming a nucleic cell, and then let alone all of the steps you have to go through to get to sentient brain. It's a tiny branch on the entire life tree. Okay, the whole branch of all sentient organisms is a tiny little branch. Okay, the frustration needs, whether felt or not. Now, right there, you're just like, what the fuck could you possibly talk about here? What are you talking about? Whether felt or not. So you need it. But it doesn't matter whether you have it or not, because it's not going to feel good. You're not going to feel bad. So if you don't have it, you're not going to feel bad. If you get it, you're not going to feel good. But somehow it's a need I have to be concerned with. So this is like saying lava needs to get to the ocean or something, and we should make a path for it so it's easier to get to the ocean. Radioactive elements need not to explode. And so we need to make a little container that they can wear, a little safety vest, so they don't explode. What the fuck? I mean, this is just absolute drivel. It's so fucking ignorant. All right, anyway. Oh, just so bad. I just can't believe this shit. I mean, this, you know, just everything. It's really been a very bad year, right? Damn. All this silly shit going on. And this has to be thrown into boot. All right, whether felt or not, forms the foundation of suffering systems. Says you. Okay, so there's no real evidence that the foundation is some sort of base foundation like, water and the moon ends up making waves that cause foam to exist on the seashore. Okay, that's simple enough. You could say, yeah, that's inevitable. But brain that can feel? No, that's not inevitable. Plants, for instance, may not feel their needs, but so this is Pirro. Pirro did this shit years ago. plants get thirsty. I just can't believe that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't believe there were people that I considered allies who believed this shit. All right, anyway, plants, for instance, may not feel their needs, but their system of growth and survival. So why, again, would I want, I'm an antinatalist and an effelist. Why would I be terribly interested in survival? I want to help things survive? No, I don't want to help them survive. The whole survival process is consumption. The plants are consuming minerals and breaking the chemistry. They're breaking the poor molecules into pieces. Oh, how can we tolerate this breaking of the poor molecules that don't want to be broken? Even though they don't have any wants, but they don't want to anyway, because, you know, we're supposed to anthropomorphically make them into feeling things. So again, the rock doesn't want to fall down off the mountain. We got to go rescue the rocks. They're all falling off the mountain. It's just such, oh, the tragedy. Fuck this. How am I going to get through all this crap? All right. Dependent on specific conditions being met, these systems perpetuate the scaffolding for life, says you. All right. The fact that there needs to be this chemical environment for us to exist in, like we have to have tolerable temperatures and all that kind of stuff. Sure. Let's break one of those systems and then we can kill everything that way. So I'm not against any using our knowledge of those dependent systems to ensure outcomes. And the fact is, we might already be on that road, right? I mean, the whole global warming thing is going to be a disaster if any of the science is correct. Okay, it's going to be really bad. All right, including sentient life. So we have to worry about the scaffolding, okay, which is a dependent biosphere. It doesn't mean that biosphere created sentient life. So again, what created sentient life was one event, the creation of a neuron. And I could go back a step further, back, and I could create these one-time events, one nucleic cell, one DNA molecule. Only one worked. All the rest didn't work. Just the one. Okay, to emerge and suffer. So, it's just first emerging. Like I said, the first electrical cell was just a defense weapon in like electric eels and stuff. Didn't have any, and some of them are for creating lights. So they didn't have any, the purpose wasn't to make a brain out of them. And then through evolution, it created brains. All right. The issue isn't just about individual suffering in the present. Well, duh, who cares about individual suffering, frankly? I mean, the big subject isn't individual suffering. The big subject is the efficiency of life itself and the carnage produced. The screaming biosphere that is the scaffolding for you writing this crap. The scaffolding for me making these videos. Our blood footprint is gigantic. Okay, it's about dismantling the framework that allows suffering to arise at all. So what are you going to dismantle exactly? So, I mean, people are already afraid of a red button, that would, annihilate or sanitize the planet of sentient life. And you're just saying, what? Well, no, we have to get every single thing that looks a little bit complicated. Every complicated molecule is a threat. Well, I'm going to argue, no, it really isn't. Okay. And evolution does prove the point. What happened 300, 400 million years ago, was an isolated event because there's no competing mechanisms. There's nothing else like a brain, a neuron-enabled brain. There's nothing duplicating its function. Nothing. nothing even close. All right, the needs of an insentient life. So what is an insentient life then? The needs of a paramecium. So we're all the way back to Pyrrho again. That insipid drivel that that moron spewed, and these idiots are now regurgitating that nonsense, that spiritual nonsense, frankly. You object to the idea that insentient entities like plants have needs. I vomit on it. I mean, it's just such a fucking idiotic notion. It has no fucking brain. How the fuck could it need anything in any real sense of the word? I mean, what kind of perversion are you doing to the word need to sit there and tell me the plant needs something? It's crazy talk. It's like saying the salt needs the water to be so it can be salt water. The salt, oh, I just can't stand the very fact I'm salt and I can't be salt water. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. Arguing that without sentience, the concept of need is meaningless. Yes, exactly. And the only reason why any of this inanimate matter, can I call it inanimate, meaning a non-sentient? The only relevance it has is if it has a real threat of creating a neuron. So if it's not a real threat that it's going to convert or create a neuron, then it's really not a threat at all. And again, even if you have neurons, you don't have brains. It takes time to build the network, the central processor. And having the central processor isn't automatically sentient. It takes a certain event to take place where that sentience creates a sensation, an ouch. It's not like, oh, there's a neuron, it's making ouch. That's not even happening as any kind of logical claim. I mean, this is just so scientifically ignorant. However, this perspective oversimplifies the term. Says fucking you. I mean, where did you figure that out from? Who told you so? Oh, God, amazing bullshit. Needs can exist as structural dependencies within a system. A system of what? What system are you saying we need to save or rescue? What system needs preservation besides us? The thing trying to fix the fucking system. You know, besides us, what needs to be preserved? Fuck, goddamn. Regardless of whether they are felt. So again, so they have needs that aren't felt. So they have a crisis. There's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. We don't feel bad, but we need a pill because, there's a hair out of place. I don't know. What's the problem? You know, on a scale of problems, right? Okay, I have this hair is gray. Okay. Oh, crisis, right? What's a bigger problem? A paramecium banging into a brick wall? Or I have a gray hair? Oh, fuck. All right, take a break. For example. Oh, this ought to be great. Oh, he has another one. Another for example. Oh, shit. So depressing. There must be like insanity gas released somewhere. Maybe that volcano in South America a couple of years ago just spewed a bunch of insanity gas. And somehow, because I'm a basement dweller, the insanity gas didn't get to me. I don't know. Too crazy. So I was just reading the first sentence. I'm saying, this is just Pyrrho 2.0. That's what they ought to call it. Oh, fuck. Okay, a plant requires water and sunlight to continue existing and reproducing. Yeah, that's really interesting to me. Gee, I'd be so terribly disappointed if all of that stopped in the universe. No, I wouldn't. Whether the plant feels these needs is irrelevant to the fact that these dependencies perpetuate systems of life. So again, you're saying that crap. And so we should starve life out of existence? What's your theory? So we come up with a virus or a blight, like the movie Interstellar, right? So all we have to do is invent some sort of nano blight that kills all the food crops, and we can kill everything that way. Is that your plan? Where's all this crap going? Yes, there's infrastructure. So what? There's a biosphere made out of decomposing corpses. They're essential to the fertilization of the soil. So what? We should endorse it and, you know, make more dead bodies to throw into the soil? What is this argument? All right, by ignoring these foundational systems, and they're not foundational, they're not on the tree of life. All right, you missed the opportunity to address suffering. So again, address suffering somehow by addressing the creation of a DNA molecule. I have to go all the way back to abiogenesis to stop suffering? No, I don't. Sponges don't suffer. You know, all kinds of organisms have no neural activity. There's no brain function. They don't, you know, the EKG thingy doesn't say, boo, 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 oh yeah, there's stuffing going on in there. No, they don't have no brain. Oh, God damn it. Ephelism 2.0 asserts that eliminating the systems that produce needs, felt or otherwise, is the most comprehensive way of addressing suffering. So their plan is, I thought they were all big on like making, you know, the go to sleep button and the, I don't know, gracefully push you off a cliff button and all these other buttons because the red button was too harsh. And all, now they want to go all the way and say, okay, well, if you're not gonna melt the surface of the Earth at 470 degrees centigrade or something, and sterilize it for 15 minutes, you didn't do the job well enough. No, you don't have to do that, frankly. But whatever, that's science. Pay no attention. Just believe your mysticism. Okay, that plants just poof into human beings. You just stick a plant on Mars and it'll just poof into a human in no time at all. Without these systems, sentient suffering cannot emerge. So it's just wrong. I mean, all of the living organisms are interdependent. That's just a fact. They eat each other's poo, so to speak. Okay, so that's how the whole biosphere always has worked and always will work. All right, but you don't have to destroy the whole biosphere to break the tree where the branch of sentience is on the tree. You break that branch off and it'll never grow a pear again. All right, dismissing insentience is abstract as abstract. So that's number three. So yes, I'm dismissing things that aren't proximate causes. Okay, and paramecium aren't proximate causes. Plants are not proximate causes. It's just not a fact that a DNA molecule means you're inevitably going to create a sentient organism. It's just not a proximate cause. Your claim that focusing on insentient life dilutes the urgency of addressing sentient suffering. It destroys the whole conversation. It's such a waste of goddamn energy and time. That's right. It's a silly, idiotic thing to do. My most malicious enemies would love you to do exactly what you're doing. Just dilute and destroy the conversation with a bunch of nonsense about how, well, we have to have a solution that does this, and it has to be a solution that does that. And you're not even saying that, right? They're not going to suggest any buttons here that'll do this job of sanitizing Earth appropriately. Whatever the fuck that is. Hurling it into the sun. I mean, how far do we have to go to satisfy you now? I mean, they're just making the objective so impossible that nobody will care to even try. It's just ridiculous rhetoric. Like I said, I mean, my enemies couldn't do a better job of being a pain in my ass. Okay, on the contrary, Ephelism 2.0 recognizes that the urgency of sentient suffering is real, but it does not exist in isolation. Yeah, it pretty much does. Sentience is its own little group, okay, and you break the group and it's not going to regrow. systems of insentient life support the continuation and reproduction of sentient beings. Again, yes, but if there's no sentient beings, how are they going to arise out of what you're calling this foundational mush? So you have no evidence that that'll happen again. Just as you have no evidence that if I took a whole bunch of single, you know, the original cells that were non-nucleic, and I throw them somewhere, that they'll eventually make a nucleic cell. Because the fact is, there's every appearance that it only happened once. One single ancestor did that. No other cell did it successfully. All right. For example, the life cycle of plants and ecosystems forms the foundation for higher... We've already heard this much before. Yes, the sentient organisms eat things. Yeah. Including sentient animals. By dismantling these insentient systems, exactly how? Okay, Ephelism 2.0. So look, if that's your objective, you're just saying, I want to make a big, giant Ephelism button, bigger red button, bigger than I think is necessary. So you think there's a bigger button necessary. Okay, is that all you're saying? It seeks to prevent suffering on a scale that goes beyond addressing sentient suffering in a here and now. So again, nobody's here and nowing and any of this bullshit. So why would you even phrase it that way? We're just saying you just need to saw off the one branch. You don't need to saw down the whole tree. I don't have to end complexity in the universe to end the existence of sentience, because frankly, it's implausible. Okay, this is not an abstract intellectual game. It's silly gibberish that just in the way. It's just another big blob of silly gibberish to have to argue past. It is a deeper ethical exploration. They're being so deep because they're caring about things, organisms for which there's no evidence are going to evolve sentience, let alone just intelligence, right? The two things are separate, you know. You know, having a brain that can do some calculations and, you know, stop something from banging into a tree, that's a real possibility. But making a brain that feels, that's really fucked up. And to imagine that somehow accidentally it's always going to fall on it, it's always going to be able to create that trick, bullshit. Seeks to address suffering at the most fundamental level. So they just keep applauding themselves that they're being more fundamental or more elemental when, no, they're just being impossibly obtuse. All right, the odds of sentient life leading to sentience. Oh, you're an expert on this subject? Fuck you are. You suggest that the odds of insentient life evolving into sentient life are ridiculously low. Yes, that can be logically understood when you analyze all the life forms, all the creations, all the creation events. Okay, that yes, these are things you can recognize as insanely improbable, because if they could happen more than once, they would have. If there were something that realistically happens, then there would be more than one neuron. Just like there's more than one eye. While this may be true in a localized or short-term sense, so again, the whole planet is an abstraction in the sense of an irregularity, in the sense that in most places in the universe, you can't even find a place as quiet as the Earth for as long as the Earth has been quiet. So you're not, the improbability of even having an Earth to start with, I mean, the magnetosphere, the whole thing, you need all of these conditions to be just the fuck right, even to have the complex chemistry, let alone the complex chemistry evolving into anything substantial. The history of life on Earth demonstrates that insentient systems, microbial life, have repeatedly given rise to sentient beings. That's just a lie. A stupid, ignorant lie. Where? Show me where it's happened more than once. Show me, fucker. So that just, she's just showing his ignorance here. Nothing but neurons. No, we all have a common neural ancestor. All sentient life on Earth has a common neural ancestor. It only happened once, jackass. Even if the probability is low, the consequences are so catastrophic that they demand attention. So anything that could evolve into a brain, and then the brain has to be able to do this sentient thing. So our computers are a threat. You know, any complex system, they're going to argue that complexity is something that should terrify us, because all complexity leads to sensation. And it's just so illogical, so nonsensical, so fucktardedly stupid. And here we are wasting time talking about it because of these assholes. Like, this subject isn't urgent enough, and they're going to just distract us with absolute babbly baby talk. Pyroisms. Shit. Ethics isn't about playing statistical games. Yeah, it is. That's entirely what it is. Yes, it is. It's entirely very important to understand the statistics of everything. I mean, Ralph Nader wrote a book, Unsafe at Any Speed, right? Well, he had his statistics up his ass, okay? Because there were blenders that killed more people. You know, all kinds of different devices that were more of a menace to humanity than those cars were. So getting that right is really important, fucktard. Not that I'm defending shitty cars. I'm just saying these exaggerations are a big problem in the world. Not getting your statistics right. Okay, it's about addressing potential harm proactively. So again, what is this? So they're creating all of this distraction and noise because they want the melt the surface of the earth button. Instead of just nuke it. You know, it's not enough. You know, 180 degrees won't be enough. We need... Is that all this is about? I mean, it's just such bullshit. All right. The possibility of insentient systems leading to sentient suffering justifies their inclusion. No, it really doesn't. And you're just full of ignorant shit. Okay. In the ethical framework of Evolution 2.0... So what do I have to do? Come up with a new word? Because you won't just go be some else. So be something the fuck else. Okay? Fuck this shit. You're going to sit there and say that this is effulism? No, this is waste your time-ism. All right. Breaking things down too much. So this is number 5. I don't know what that even means, but fine. You argue, so he's arguing with this short video that he made, just pointing out how I ain't seeing this shit. What the hell? Why should we waste time not, you know, worrying about anything other than breaking the mechanisms that are likely to create sentience on a planet? That's the only mechanism we need to worry about. All right. You argue that breaking suffering down into its fundamental components somehow renders it less significant. No, I don't think that's what he said. I don't think that's what he said at all. He's saying that you're just a distraction to the subject. The subject is about worrying about creating rabbits in space, not rocks in space, okay? Complicated rocks. Even sparkly booga booga mock mock mockers. You know, you can have some kind of little machiney thing, a little biological blah, 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 jellyfish. You know, jellyfish in space. I'm not worried about jellyfish in space. They don't have enough of a brain. This is a misunderstanding of Effulism 2.0's goal. Well, the goal seems just to be, you know, stick a cactus up Gary's ass. I mean, I don't see any other goal here. What the fuck is this shit? I mean, everybody's scared to death of the red button subject anyway, and you're just saying, well, it's got to be a really big red button. Fuck you. You're not helping. All right. It's not about minimizing suffering by abstractions, whatever that means, but understanding it's, what is that? Holistically to prevent it at its roots. So again, this is there's no point in me keep saying it, but he's ignorant. He doesn't understand evolution, doesn't understand the science, the chemistry, any of it. So he doesn't really understand that this thing that happened, we'll never make one because it's so fucking bizarre and strange. All right. That brains could possibly manifest this level of bullshit. Your brain is making bullshit. And the bullshit has this insidious part where it creates insane amounts of torment and torture. It's a fucking... yeah, well, anyway. You're never going to create one. All right. Pain and suffering and need are emergent phenomenon. So even that word emergent is... built on simpler systems, says you. They're built on bizarre events and insanely unlikely events, like a cell eating another cell and the other cell survives inside of it and they share their DNA. Not too fucking likely, asshole. I mean, it's actually the cell who ate the cell becomes the puppet to the inner cell. So the cell that got eaten ends up taking control of the other cell. I mean, these are not events that are going to, you know, just happen. Like a rock falling down a hill. All right. By targeting these systems, Ephelism 2.0 aims to address suffering before it manifests. So again, do you think a plant is ever going to manifest suffering? Do you realistically think that it's ever going to manifest thinking, let alone feeling? And what's it going to manifest it out of? Microtubules? That was Pirro's theory. Microtubules. You know, the thing that pulls DNA molecules apart. Somehow they're going to get smart. They run on chemistry, by the way. Very slow. Chemicals have to slowly migrate across the tubercle. The whole point of neurons is their speed. It's an electrical cell, so it ionizes across its surface. And so it can move a message really, really fucking fast. So any organism made of cells that don't have the capacity to send electrical signals is doomed to failure in making a brain. Because it can't do the processing fast enough. By the time its brain, like there could be a fire and its temperature is increasing and this, and it won't figure out that there's a fire until 3 days after it's been burned to pieces. And then it's going to what? Pull up its roots and run away. Oh, fuck. This is so fucking goddamn irritating. This approach complements, okay, fuck you, rather than contradicts the immediate urgency of addressing sentient suffering. This doesn't sound like you're complimenting. This sounds like you're attacking. That's what it sounds like. That's what it looks like. You don't go 2.0-ing unless you think there's something wrong with 1.0. Fuck. Tulips are part of the problem, in quotes. You dismiss the idea that plants, yes, with good reason it's dismissed, or other insentient life forms are ethically significant. Yes, of course they're not ethically significant. They're not going to make brains, and they're not going to make feeling brains. There's just no good reason to think that's going to happen. Ever. Suggesting this focus undermines the movement, however. What movement? We were all doing just fine. Ephelism was doing just fine. You used to be one of the people defending it. It was doing just fine. Ephelism 2.0 doesn't anthropomorphize plants or claim they matter. Well, you're claiming they do because they're going to be creating brains any day now. Feeling brains. In a sentient sense, it identifies them as part of a broader web of life that perpetuates suffering. So again, this is just nonsense. If there's no mammals, there's no suffering, there's no brains, then the plants can grow forever, and they'll just be plants. They won't be sentient life. It's like the Galapagos Islands. The animals had to come. You know, they had to fly there. They had to float on logs. They had to get there some other way. If they didn't show up, then it would just be a bunch of plants. Fuckhead. This perspective doesn't weaken the urgency of addressing sentient suffering. Okay, it strengthens the philosophical foundation for preventing suffering on a universal scale. So what's this universal scale? You're going to go fly into the universe and sterilize it? I don't think so. I mean, if I want to go as broadly wacky as I can go, I can imagine saying, okay, let's make some kind of computer thing, a robot that goes out into space, makes some sort of judgment does its job. And then it's replicating, make it so it can land on a planet and make another robot. So, the whole universe will be protected by the growing number of essentially nanobots infecting the universe. But it would take billions and billions of years. And who knows if the universe will even be still functional enough for it to be an issue. Conclusion. Ethicism 2.0 broadens the scope of ethical concern to include systems of need. So again, it keeps saying systems of need. Those systems don't need anything. Okay. While not sentient themselves, enable sentient suffering. So again, this enabling part, because there's food, we have to kill the food. No, the brains are what's got to go. The food doesn't have to go. It's just too silly. This is not a rejection of the immediate need to address sentient suffering, but an explanation of the ethical framework to prevent suffering at its source. So again, he says the source is what? Microorganisms? DNA molecules made out of amino acids. Is that what got us, amino acids are the threat? Water? I mean, it seems clear you do have to have a liquid medium for all of this crap to happen in. But anyway, by dismissing the systems that allow suffering to emerge, so bullshit on that. Since no one dismissed it, it was talked about. And the simple truth is that, yeah, there's every reason to believe that this is a very rare event, creating a brain and then creating a brain that feels. That these are giant obstacles, not little obstacles. They're gigantic. You can't name me another organism on this planet that has a functioning central processor not made of neurons. Show me something doing something at all clever. The best that Paramecium can do is run a program that basically says, turn left the first time, then turn right twice, and then turn left three times, and then turn left, right, left, right. That's all it has. That's its brain. So it hits an obstacle and it goes through this little routine. That's it. You think that's a threat to become sentient? Fuck. All right. Ethicism 2.0 moves beyond. I don't know what that is. triage to prevention. Triage. Okay. This is more profound and comprehensive approach. So they think they're adding some great value to this rescue mission. And I'm saying this isn't even close. This is like Mary Poppins is tied to a railroad track and her hat is, down the track a ways. And you're going to worry about collecting her hat. Get the hat first. Fuck Mary. All right. To solve the problem of suffering, ensuring that it doesn't just present in new forms. So this is all about them accepting some babble from people who say, but life always happens. They said so in the movie. Like, that dinosaur movie. The guy said, nature always finds a way. Yeah. Nature always finds a way. Well, how come it hasn't found it? It's had 4 billion years of life being on Earth, or something like that, 3 point whatever. In some kind of form. Now, it's only really took off at the most, 500-600 million years ago, and where it got all at all interesting, something more than slime. And your argument is that in those 800 million years, it hasn't been able to replicate anything close to some other thinking, feeling machine. Not even close. There's no close competitor to the neuron-enabled brain organism. So if you take the neuron-enabled brain organism over here in a pile, there's nothing anywhere close. All right, ensuring that it doesn't just persist in new forms. So they really do think that all you have to do is throw a glass of water on Mars and all of a sudden trees will pop out of it. And then a brain will be, you know, a brain tree. And then the brain tree will be crying. Oh, fuck. So I said, this is a bizarre mushing of the subject. Seems to me you're trying to make the argument that the prevention penicillin gracefully causing the extinction of neurons. So that's what I'm calling penicillin, the cure for the Earth's ills. Isn't good enough cure because it doesn't prevent volcanoes.
Yeah.
So, you know. So let's not bother, you know, because, oh, we didn't stop volcanoes, so, you know, we didn't fix the problem. Seems like you're trying to make the end game look hopeless so you can cop out of having to fight for it. That's what it seems like to me. I can't see any other reason. Pirro brought this kind of shit up because he wants to disengage. He wants to eliminate any need to do anything because he wants to pretend we can't do anything. We can't stop it. We can't prevent it. We can't play a role. So they're just finding an excuse to say we can't win the war, so let's not fight. That's all I see here. Maybe you should go back to your old screen name, Wink. His old screen name was No Brains in Head. And it's looking that way. And then he did this other reply, this snarky reply. So I'll read that in another video. Yeah, I might as well make it a separate video. So disappointing, though. Damn. But I, like I said, I've been prepared for this, okay? I mean, it's not like I'd never learned anything in my 20 years on YouTube. I have learned, okay, just not to expect something to blow up instead of expecting it to, you know, rub my butt and say they're there. So I expect to get, you know, I just expect it. And so there it is again. It happens again from a corner. I had no idea it was going to come from that corner, but I'm not rhinoceros skinned. I mean, it still hurts, but it's, you know, the wounds are, I've learned how to stick mud in them, and it's okay. You know, I'll survive. But God damn, I can't even. There's so many little things I could go into, just little personal things, different things happen to other people I know, just hard, you know, wives dying all over the place, all kinds of shit. And just things in the neighborhood and crap, and it just, and then Trump, and it's just such a bad year. Oh, fuck. You're just saying, the real anvil is, you know, the rope is unraveling, you know, and I'm just going to get fucked even worse. And it's just fuck this planet. God damn, do I hate it here. So anyway, that's all I can say. I really do hate it here. And every day I have to try to not let the depression get to me. And it's a real struggle, because it's all so fucking profoundly depressing. Oh, God, I hate it here. I just hate this planet of scum. Stupid fucking jackasses. Shit.